podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
You just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Hey, it's Bill. This is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 471. With me tonight is Jason Kuzor from Silence Follows and The Crucible Project, and we will be speaking about the latter tonight. Once we get started, I do have a quick question for him. You also hear from Kate from the band Suffocate and Chris and Eric from Shattered. Those were pre-recorded at Gigaroo last weekend during the rain delay that ended up turning into a rain shutdown. But anyway, let's get started with Jason. What's up, Jason?
How are you, Bill?
I'm good. You know, I told you I wasn't going to mention that possible new station. I didn't mention any stations.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't.
I didn't. So let me
wait.
Do that
isn't there like one of the, what do they call those? It's like a, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a thing, you know, where I guess a plug. Don't you have a plug like at the end of the segment?
I could do it there.
You could always just do it that way. Okay. Nobody will ever know.
Okay. Except for the fact that we just told them.
Shit.
Hey, so before we get into Crucible Project, tell me what you've been up to with Silence Follows since we last talked, which was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, wasn't it? I was going back and trying to remember when we talked last, and I couldn't. So, I guess we'll just start with this year. We had a couple shows early in the year here. We were lucky enough to be selected to play at Millville Music Festival this year, which was a first for us. Super fun time. We played at, the VFW, with a bunch of great bands. Horace Mays was there. Victoria Fire, I think, was there as well. Great time. It was a great stage. Everybody had a super chill time and just hanging out. And then we got done a little bit earlier, so I was able to make it over to the Metal Edge stage for the metal bands over at the community center and see Gray Walker and Ocean Stash and them. And yeah, it was a cool time. So we did that. We had another show here in June at the Funhouse. Another great time playing with, I think you actually played these guys, Serpent Lord.
I do.
We played with them for that show.
I watched that one.
Yeah, it was a good, that was a great show. A lot of fun that night. So that kind of brings us to current, I believe. So,
the fact that I watched that show is probably going to come up here momentarily.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
More on that later.
So tell me, how did the Crucible Project come to fruition? What is it exactly? And why is that the name you chose?
Okay. Well, first of all, the Crucible Project is an organization that we created that runs a monthly concert series at the Funhouse at Mr. Small's featuring local, all-original hard rock and metal acts from the Pittsburgh and surrounding area. And occasionally we'll do like, we'll have some guests and stuff that are, you know, close to the scene here or whatever. You know, we'll have them come into town and then some of our bands go out with them and kind of like a, you know, one of those symbiotic things like that. So that's who we are. And kind of what we do.
Let me pause you there for a second. Mm-hmm. That word symbiotic.
Yeah.
I teach science, right?
Yeah.
So the first thing that should pop into my head is the scientific end of it. But every time I hear that word, I think it's Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Go ahead.
That's all right. Now I forgot where I was at.
He told me what it is.
What it is. And what we do, how did it get started? So it kind of really all started, I'd say probably late 2016, somewhere about like, I want to say August. For years, I had gone to at the time it was at Club Cafe and then it moved to the Fun House when that opened. There's a weekly acoustic night, like a kind of like an open mic thing called Acoustic Cafe. Mm-hmm. That the guy that I work with, Jesse Prentice, he kind of was like one of the organizers of it. And, everybody kind of knew me at the time. Like I was in a metal band playing guitar and stuff. And like, everybody kind of in that group kind of knew me as like the metal guy. And when we moved to the Fun House for Acoustic Cafe, you know, it was new. It was, and they were kind of looking to expand it a little bit into like other genres and stuff. Because a lot of the shows were kind of based around acoustic acts and stuff like that. So him and I were talking one day and he said, "Hey, we got this show. The owners like want to do, there's a showdown." It was actually Periphery was playing downstairs in the main room. And you know, Liz and them were like, "Hey, we want to have some bands upstairs. We thought it would be cool to have like some of the local Pittsburgh, like, you know, hard rock or metal or some, you know, just bands similar to that genre upstairs. So like when the set lets out downstairs, everybody kind of rushes upstairs to the grill, get food, they get drinks and stuff. So I thought it'd be cool to have like some bands and stuff in there playing while those people came up to show them like, "Hey, this is, you know, this is right here in your backyard, you know, check, mm-hmm. stop in, catch a couple songs and stuff. And then, you know, catch the other set downstairs." And then, you know, obviously it was open to other people too to come in, but it's like, so we did that one. I think Neverwake actually played the very first one for that Periphery show. And then, you know, we had them, we did it a couple months there where it was just kind of me and him coordinating it. And then, we did that one. I think we did September and then we took a month off. And then, you know, in December, at the same time, like my old band had broken up and then we kind of, but like a lot of us kind of stayed together and reformed into another band, which is now Silence Follows. So we, you know, we were looking to have our first show and, I actually like connected with, Jerry from Twisted Fate, for his band, Winter's Descent. Him and I kind of connected and we got to talking and we're like, "Hey, yeah, let's do like wouldn't it be cool to do like a big show featuring like a bunch of us and maybe, you know, bringing somebody in from the outside. And I think actually I take it back. We also, in that same amount of time, we learned about Resistance 13, which is a band out of Ohio there. And they were having like a CD release party. So a bunch of us got together and took a drive down to go see them at their party. And we were like, "Hey, this is pretty cool." Like, you know, they had like a huge CD release party at, I'm trying to remember the name of the place. I want to say it was like River City. Huge, huge, like three level facility down in Morgantown, I want to say. But really cool place and a giant space upstairs. And like, they had like a huge ballroom just packed with people. And I was like, you know, we got to talking afterwards and we were like, hey, why don't we try to do something like that in Pittsburgh and like, see if we can get, you know, something rolling like that. So my band, which was actually like our debut show for that, my band, Jerry's band, Never Wake, since, you know, the first one had gone well, we were like, hey, why don't we all get together and let's do this. And then my old previous band, Alternative Design, actually, was on that bill as well. And then we got to talking at that show with Jeremy from Resistance 13. We're like, hey, why don't you guys come out and like, you know, you guys can be like kind of like our guest or something from the Valley, and we'll, you know, we'll all get together, we'll jam and have a good time. So we decided to do that. And that was December 9th of 2016. And we, at the time, like when we went to go launch it, like we, you know, to promote that show, we had no idea like what to call it. So we were just like, well, all the bands are from Pittsburgh. So and they're kind of all in the hard rock metal genre. So let's call it the Homegrown Hard Rock Showcase. So that's what we went with. And, you know, we did that show and, it was a huge success. Like we had our very first show, we had almost sold the Funhouse out. And, we couldn't believe it. We were like, holy heck, this is like awesome, you know? So, after that show, you know, we decided, hey, maybe we, you know, me and Jerry and Joya, we kind of got to talking, and they were huge helps in getting that particular show, organized and, you know, getting everybody on the same page and stuff. We've worked very well together. So we were like, hey, why don't we, see about maybe doing this again. Cause like Jesse was also, you know, obviously very happy with everything and the venue itself. And, you know, they kind of said to us, hey, would you guys like maybe want to do this again? We talked about it and that's kind of where it started from. And then, we didn't know really at the time, like how long it was going to last. We thought, hey, we'll do it and, you know, see what happens with it. And, kept it rolling. And, you know, the more we got out and, you know, got to bring in some new bands and stuff. And, you know, we've had some other, folks back during that same time, but like we've really made a focus on kind of expanding out you know, bringing in some new acts to keep it fresh and stuff. And we really wanted it to be kind of as we went along, we wanted to make it into something that wasn't just a representation of like one specific type of heavy music. So it kind of branched out to like all kinds of different, I guess, subgenres of like rock and hard rock and, you know, metal and extreme metal. And we've kind of done anywhere all across the board, you know, from our next, you know, we'll talk more about this later. But yeah. Our next show coming up is like, you know, more towards like the punk side. One of our shows later on this year is going to be a little bit more on the heavier side. Actually, a couple of them. And
we'll get into too much detail on that one. We're going to ask.
Yeah, we'll cover more about that later. More on that at 11. But yeah, so like, you know, as it was one of those things where it was kind of a snowball effect. So like, we did this one thing and it was super cool. Everybody had a blast and we were like, hey, why don't we make this a thing? And,
that's how the show started.
Yeah. That's kind of how all this stuff always does start. It's just like, you kind of take a risk and when we were very fortunate to be afforded a wonderful opportunity by the Funhouse to allow us to do this, you know, and we're very thankful for that. But, it, you know, we kind of took it and ran with it. And as it went on, you know, we started having more regular crowds and, you know, a lot of a success with that, you know, with just all the acts that we brought in. We started bringing these bands in and we're just like, there is so much freaking talent in this city. Like we got to make this a thing. And as time went on and we continued to do these, we got through like, kind of like the first year of it, and then we were like approaching like year one and a half, I guess. And I want to say it was like the summer of last year. You know, we got so far along and we were like, this is cool, and it's cooler than the Homegrown Hard Rock Showcase. So we need to come up with like a better brand for it. And you know, we got to talking and everything, and I think it was Jerry that actually suggested the actual name of the Crucible Project. But we were talking about it, and we were trying to think of themes that would fit with, like, you know, the heritage of Pittsburgh and it, you know, its history and stuff. And as soon as he said that, I was like, yep. Like, it was like this light bulb went off, and I thought of like all of the different, like, it was like a marketing bomb just went off in my head, you know? And yeah, it was a perfect tie-in, and I was like, yeah, dude, the Crucible Project. You know, it's like when you think of what a crucible is, you know, it's kind of like this giant melting pot for steel, and that was, you know, the kind of what made it click for me. It was like, that's kind of what we're trying to be, is a melting pot for all things like hard rock and heavy metal in Pittsburgh. And so that's kind of where that came from.
So you mentioned Twist of Fate. There are a couple other collaborations that I'd like you to talk about. The one is First Angel Media, and the other would be The Metal Edge. How did those come about?
Well, I'll start with Twist of Fate, because they're probably the most interesting story out of this, just because, you know, that's run by Jerry and Joya, and that's their own, like, you know, legitimate production company, and they're like all official and everything. And you know, that kind of came out of us doing this. They learned a lot of stuff about, you know, putting shows on and stuff, and then we all did, honestly. But yeah, they got into it with me, and they I think really enjoyed, you know, kind of what we were able to do and wanted to expand on it. So they started their own production company out of that series, which was kind of cool in itself, because, like, you know, it was yet another example of what the series is supposed to be about. Like, it also can be a catalyst for, you know, things outside of just bands. Like, First Angel Media is actually kind of another great story from that. I know that Jonna was doing stuff and getting into photography I want to say in and around kind of the same time that we did our very first show, like two or three years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I apologize if I have my timelines off, because
you're about right.
But I think she started like doing photography for a couple of our shows, and like I think she did the one that we did, the very first one, and we saw some of the pictures that came back. And at the time, she was also working with Dan from GTX Media, and he did some shots for our shows too. And you know, they had started working, you know, closer together, and she learned a ton from him, and then started to develop her own style. And like that's kind of how our relationship with them came about, was because, you know, she had done a lot of work for us in the early stages of both our thing and her thing. And you know, as time went on and we worked closer together, you know, she was very instrumental in helping us with a lot of the you know, one thing that we always kind of tried to do was like create like some special things that you might not normally see for local shows or things like that. We tried to do like, you know, bigger, cooler like flyers and stuff that might include like action shots and stuff. And she would help us out doing the photography and stuff, and some editing and stuff for that kind of stuff, for like artwork that we featured in the flyers. And then, as her company continued to grow. She just kind of, you know, we grew, but she grew with us as well. And like her involvement became more, as far as like the, you know, the kind of the media side of it. And then, same thing for the Metal Edge. They, you know, knew, so I think, I'm trying to remember who it was I originally talked to. I want to say it was Zach Fell. Somebody had introduced me to him at one of our shows that he was at, you know, and he kind of talked to us and he talked to me a little bit about Silence Follows and like, you know, getting us played on the Metal Edge. And, you know, we got to talking and stuff and he was like, yeah, would, you know, it also, you know, we were thinking maybe it might be cool. Like if we could do like, you know, like a live stream of one of the shows or something, we talked about it and we were like, yeah, it'd be super cool. You know, like they wanted to do it through the website and everything. So we talked to them for a little bit and they were gracious enough to help us out with like some advertising and like coming to the shows and, you know, doing live coverage for us and stuff for, you know, people that might not be able to make it out or might be in another state or something. They couldn't make it. But still wanted to be a part of it. So, we started, you know, doing that, occasionally when they could help out. And then it kind of grew, from there just the same way that all of the relationships did it. You know, it was, I feel like it got them out there a little bit more. So people got some, you know, as our thing grew, it got them out there and they definitely helped to get us out there. And, you know, it got to the point where like, hey, do you guys just want to like, you know, make this a regular thing? And, you know, Zach and I talked a little bit and, you know, he talked it over with Jonathan, who has also been a huge help, in all of that and has done some shows for us and stuff. And, it just kind of was one of those natural things. Hey, you guys want to make this a thing? All right. Yeah. And it's a thing, you know, and that's just kind of how it happened.
Cool. Hey, we're going to take a short break. I'm going to play two songs. I don't know who from, which is like normal. So those of you that are listening, get used to hearing that. And I'm going to come back with three more questions for Jason. So we'll be right back. Hey, it's Bill. It's episode 471 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. If you're just tuning in, with me is Jason Kazoya from the Crucible Project and the band The Silence Follows. We talked a little bit about the Crucible Project in the first segment. You'll have to go back and listen to that. Still coming. You will get to hear pre-recorded interviews from Kate from Suffocate and Farewell Felicia and Chris and Eric from Shattered from this past weekend's show, Kiguru. I have three more questions for Jason. That's where we're headed now. You ready, Jason?
All right, let's do this.
Okay. So, what upcoming shows did the Crucible Project have for us?
All right. Well, actually, coming up here in about, week and a half or so, on July 20th, we have a show for, I don't know if you know her or not, she goes by the name Lil Bat. Her name
I do
is,
know her.
You know her, Trish?
Yep.
Yeah, she's the host of a
41 Tunes.
Yes, 41 Tunes. And I will tell you, it took me the longest time to make that connection in my head. Because I kept trying to spell it out.
412 NES.
Yeah, it's all I kept saying in my head. And then one day I looked at it and I was like, oh, son of a 41 Tunes.
Which coincidentally is part of my podcastyourscene.com website.
So. There you go. See? Convenient plugs. I think we did that the last time too, didn't we?
Probably.
Convenient plugs. But yeah, so she's a host of that, and she's done some stuff to help promote a lot of bands in Pittsburgh and stuff. And I know even like during when she had a segment for a while there I think it was WTAE, where she did some live shot segments and stuff for them too. She's done a lot to try and help promote local music in Pittsburgh, and it's just generally cool, fun peoples. And we were talking about wanting to do what we were going to do for the July show, and Joya had mentioned to me that she was looking to do like a birthday thing, and we talked about it, and I was like, all right, yeah, I get it. And then I had got a chance to meet her afterwards, and I was like, all right, yep, let's do this. So we were talking about what we were going to do, and we try to keep it somewhat fresh for every show that we do and bring new bands in and stuff. And we were like, we haven't really done like a more like, I guess, more something more on the lines of punk that kind of thing. So we got to talking, we found some cool bands to play. So it's going to be a good time. As always, Metal Edge is going to be on site to do, a live stream of the show and doing some house music for us and stuff, which also they'll play, house music in the venue of all local Pittsburgh bands. So another cool way for us to get local artists out there, even to the people that are at the show. They might hear something else and like it and want to come to one of our shows. So it's a cool way to help promote there. But anyway, so we got on July 20th, we're doing a birthday party for her there, featuring the Filthy Lowdown, band called Playgrounds, and Han Drive. So it's going to be a good time. We're doing we're also doing a silent auction for an organization called Little Bags of Love, which is they kind of go around and put together these kind of like care bags to hand out to the homeless in and around the city. So good cause. There'll be some cool stuff that'll be available for auction. I hear there's going to be cake and lots of good music. So that's July 20th. It's going to be a good time. And then coming up after that, we have and these are all Saturday shows, by the way. We generally try to stick to Saturdays because we know it's easier for people to get out. So, but we coming up after that, we have Saturday, August 17th. We're bringing in actually a band. I want to say they're from Indiana.
Losing September.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie, Indiana. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
I just saw them this weekend.
I know they were. Awesome. Yeah, I do know that they were a Gigaroo. I got a chance to see them a while back. They played a show with Neverwake at the Hard Rock down in Pittsburgh here, and super cool dudes. They do some really interesting stuff as far as instrumentation and things like that. There's some cello and some other additional percussion instruments and stuff, and it's a good stage show. So they're going to be headlining that show, and then on support we have Winter's Descent. Jerry's band's going to play. We have Chronicles of June, who I actually got to see at the Saved by the Scene benefit that First Angel put on over at Howlers here a little bit ago, and I'm a personal fan. I thought they were fantastic, and I hear that they were actually down a guitar that night due to some like schedule conflicts or something. So to see them at full tilt, if that was them running at half speed, man, I can't wait to see them at full tilt. So so they're playing, and then a band called Scarlet Sky, which is kind of a
they're kind of new, aren't they?
Yeah, they're newer. Ash Clear, who used to be in East End. End. Yeah, he's playing with those guys, as well as Greg Fristick from Defy the Tide. That's their new project, and I've heard really good things about those guys. I haven't been able to get out to a show yet to see them, but from the stuff that I saw and everything that I've heard, they're also a very ripping band. So we're excited to bring those guys in and to kick us off that night. So and then we're putting the final touches on a couple other dates here in September and October. There'll be more coming from the Crucible Project on those dates fairly soon here.
Cool. How can a band get involved in one of those shows?
Pretty simple, really. Just talk to us. Honestly, it's we try to keep it as easy and laid back. I mean, we're all musicians too. So we understand, like, we want to keep it fun, and we want to keep it loose for everybody. The easiest ways are probably to just either shoot us a message on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/thecrucibleprojectpgh. Same for Instagram. Our handle on Instagram is @thecrucibleprojectpgh. And then you can also email us to email information is on the Facebook page as well, but it's thecrucibleprojectpgh@gmail.com. Any or all of those, or you can even message me personally. Any or all of those options are acceptable. We book up fast. I will say that we're pretty well booked out here through the rest of the year. So, it's always good to send a message, because we're always looking for new bands. We're always, evaluating new acts and stuff for future shows. And we generally try to plan these things relatively far in advance so that we can actually give everybody the proper promotion and stuff that they deserve for their talent. We want to do the best that we can for you and as an artist, and, we hope that you do the same. So, get in touch with us at any of those channels. And
so, what are your goals for the scene as a whole?
I would say growth number one. We want to see things expand, and not only just in terms of the Crucible Project and our shows. We want to see the overall scene grow and continue to expand, regardless of what genre it is. And I would say that's a big one. to create a change in fan culture and kind of the stigma that has surrounded local shows, whether it's from history or whatever, I'm not sure. But we're hoping to show, you know, not only we're hoping to show people that, you know, you can go to a local show and see some very talented people doing the things that you see all of the national bands doing right in your backyard, you know, and like to show them that, like, you know, all the national bands and stuff that you love, they were all local bands at one point too. And these are the kind of things that they become born out of and, you know, and continue to grow from. So we want to show them that, you know, it's a huge value it's a huge value for what you get. And that it's right here. And we, you know, to not be afraid to come out and spend, you know, $10 or whatever to go to a local show, because you're going to have an amazing time and you're going to see something that you may not have expected, or, you know, you may discover something new. And so that's probably one thing that we, you know, I personally would like to see as a goal. And, you know, I think we kind of strive for to create a better experience for our fans and stuff as they come to our shows for the Crucible Project. I would also say, I would say inclusiveness. We want anybody that comes to our shows to feel like they belong there, and, you know, regardless of, you know, what background you come from or anything like that, or what you're into as far as music goes. Like, we want people who might be huge fans of black metal or, you know, some kind of extreme metal to come to a hard rock show and hang out with everybody and have a great time just as much as they would at, you know, maybe a night that we have black metal or something like that featured, or even just a show that they would normally go to, you know, to experience something new, and vice versa. If, you know, people that aren't maybe necessarily exposed to some of the harder stuff, to kind of get an opportunity to kind of cross and try some new things and mingle with another group of metal fans and bands and stuff like that. And everybody to feel like at any point, like they belong there. So I think that's something that, you know, has kind of been a purpose of this series, is to, you know, like I said before, to be that melting pot, not only of music, but also the fans themselves, to feel comfortable and, you know, and to come out and experience new things or to you know, cross any of the boundaries that exist in society today. You know, it's everybody's welcome, and we our goal is to give everybody a good time, no matter who you are. And lastly, I would say also, probably one of the things that drives us in the way we operate as far as the Crucible Project goes, that we hope eventually, maybe with enough success or a little bit of luck, we want to change the band experience. You know, we want to create a great concert for our fans and people that come out to the show. But we also want to create a better experience for the bands themselves. That's something that I personally have studied for a while. As far as some of the things that seem to come up as constant complaints about how bands are treated, you know, we may not be perfect at it, and we always strive to be better at it. But I feel that our shows give bands, and are designed to give bands, an experience where they feel like they're valued as an artist, and, you know, they're paid fairly. And, you know, they're not only just pay, but because that's cool and all, but like also to be treated like an artist. Like, you know, you have access to a private area to store your gear, and like, you know, you get certain benefits as at playing at our shows as an artist, and you know, to really provide that overall experience from the second you load in to the second that you're out the door. You know, we look at it as a partnership with the bands that we work with, and you know, we want them to feel not like they're just another band coming in the door. And you know, we take a lot of time to review our acts and to vet them. And you know, I think that's something that helped us to provide better shows. But you know, again, we're choosing the bands that we choose because we feel that they're deserving of that experience. And you know, we hope that that's what we deliver. Because we don't want to be another one of those another promoter that, you know, somebody walks away from a show and just feels like, eh, you know, well, we got through that one. You know, we want them to
come back.
Absolutely. And like, and the bands that perform well, like, yeah, absolutely. We want them to come back. And, you know, we want them to be successful on a business level, but we also want them to have fun. You know, that's at the end of the day, you know, Jerry and I, you know, we're both musicians, and Julia spends a lot of time around Jerry's band. So, you know, she's close enough to it that she understands. And as musicians, you know, we've been through it. We understand it. And because of that, we know some of the problems that can exist. And we try to create a better experience based off of that, that knowledge, to kind of get past some of those issues and hopefully to provide, like I said, like a better experience and a fun environment that that the bands can come in and really feel comfortable to give their absolute best performance. So awesome. I think so far we've been good with that, and you know, we're always looking at new ways to try and do that and to be more efficient, and hopefully we do that, and hopefully that everybody has had a blast playing our shows. We've had a blast having everybody on our shows, and we've been fortunate to meet some incredibly talented musicians and to have some just amazing experiences and memories, anywhere from bands starting out to bands that I know personally that are out on national tours now, you know, and making some really big moves. It's cool to be a part of something that you see those kinds of, no matter what part of the cycle your band lies in, you're always treated the same, and you always get that same experience, you know, regardless of where you're at. And to be a part of something where we get to facilitate both of those things, it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Hey, Jason, I want to thank you for coming on the show again.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I'm sure we'll be talking again. maybe we'll keep it a little closer than almost a year and a half to 2 years this time.
We should. I feel like we should probably do that, Bill. I think that would be a good idea.
Okay. So if you are just tuning in, you missed a lot. Make sure you go to parockshow.com. We are located on quite a few stations. We have a new one that I'm not going to announce yet, but you can check us out at parockshow.com, megarockradio.net, buildascene.com/radio, rudaroo.radio.com, and altrockradio.ca. That's Canadian. They are working on royalties. Currently they are set up for Canada, so can't actually listen to them from the United States yet, but it's coming. My name is Bill. This has been episode number 471 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Make sure you check us out each and every week at parockshow.com. Coming up next week, we have Royal Honey for episode number 472. Episode 473 is Danny Gochnor from the House Rockers. And then we're going to head east on August 2nd and talk to Dear Anna. If you're in a band and you'd like to be on the show, email me at bill@billdecine.com. We'll catch you next week. Hey, it's Bill. We're standing out in the sound booth at Gigaroo on a weather delay. They've put the tarps over the infield. With me is Kate from Suffocate. What's up, Kate?
How are ya?
I'm good. I really have no idea what we're going to talk about. That lightning was awesome. So you got to play last night without the rain.
Yes.
How would you describe playing on that stage year in and year out?
Amazing. They're, honestly, you can't really explain it. You feel all the energy from that stage. Everybody, all the kids, you know, this put on for, the musicians that lay everything on that stage. It's unbelievable, indescribable.
I feel like Doppler Effect should be here right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they have a song about this.
They do.
We need moonshine.
You were around some last night.
I was. I was.
I got offered some. I didn't drink any.
So somebody bought me a huge bottle of Fireball for my birthday because I was asking for Fireball. I'm like, I don't even drink this. I don't know what I'm going to do with this huge bottle of Fireball.
Well, I guess we're going to have like a full field toast at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's huge.
That's funny. Have you had it before?
I don't like it. Too many cinnamon things back in the day. Like 151. Aftershock, like before Fireball, the hard stuff. Yeah, it killed cinnamon for me.
I just thought of that song I wrote, Yellow.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It may or may... Ooh, did you see that one?
I did.
may or may not have been about Kate puking in the backseat of my car.
You know, it happens. I had a sober driver.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Yeah. Only puked once. Of all the times we were out together, I only peeped once.
Where's my yellow?
Gatorade.
Okay, so this turned oddly quickly. Okay, so who's left tonight? I guess we can't even really rattle that off.
No.
Because we don't know. Cook and Jeff Tower played acoustic at 3. Iron Sight started at 4. I guess technically they're still on the stage.
They are, yeah. There's a lot of band members on the stage now, so I don't know.
5 o'clock was supposed to be Unbroken Soul, 6 Shattered, 7 was Chipping the Charge Ups, and the estimated time of arrival for our electricity to come back is, ooh, there's another one, between 7 and 7:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. 8 p.m. is Flashback, 9 p.m. 5 Alarm Flood.
Yeah, we got
that should be interesting.
Yes, they should have been playing.
10 o'clock, Silk 9. 11 o'clock, A Common Crown. I wonder if there's a rain date.
Ask the owner and the event coordinator. Yeah.
They may be playing tomorrow.
No, I need a recovery day.
But, hey, so I think we're going to go. And I don't know who I'll talk to next, but I'm sure there'll be someone because there's some time to kill.
There's a lot of time to kill. Yep. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Kate. Hey, it's Bill again out at Gigaroo. We are standing in the sound booth. It is kind of raining a little bit, and I believe there's a blown transformer. So we have some time to kill. With me are Chris and Eric from Shattered. What's up, guys?
What's going on?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. We have one mic, so you guys got to bear with us here. So it sounds like, unfortunately, you guys are probably going to get bumped.
Yeah, it's not looking too good unless they get the power back on in the next hour or so. But I think they said about 7, so.
Mother Nature has decided she did not want to cooperate today, so here we are.
We could we could go out and wrestle in the grass, but I think you're going to kick my ass.
I mean, it's wet. I might slip a little bit, you know what I mean? So you might be able to get the advantage, you know? I mean, it's an even ball field out there.
What's the name of the brand you wrestle for?
Well, I've wrestled for multiple organizations over the years, but most recently just Renegade Wrestling Alliance out of West Newton, Pennsylvania. So that chapter of my life's kind of coming to a close. It's been a fun 18-year run, but you know, body's getting older, so it's time to mend the wounds a little bit, which is why I decided to, you know, get back into the music thing. It's a little easier on the body, and I enjoy it a little bit more now. So
that's the same reason I don't take pictures from the stage anymore. I got old, it gets hot, I can't take it.
Yeah, I hear you.
So what do you guys have coming up? Anything you want to? Any shows? I see the face. Wrong question.
We don't really have a whole lot coming up. I don't think we're going to be playing for next couple months now. We'll take some time off to work on some new music, do some other things. We all have vacation and stuff like that. So summer's always pretty busy, but we'll get back at it probably September, October.
Cool. I think we're going to have to go. Tim was just giving me the eyes. He's walking over to the booth.
Where are we going?
I don't know, but Tim was looking at the sound booth, and he can't get in here.
But it was a pretty busy winter and spring for us. So we're finally to the tail end of what we had booked and everything. So yeah, a little bit of a hiatus coming up, but we're working on brand new music, writing and stuff like that. We're hoping to get a new single out here, hopefully within the next like 3 to 4 months, and you know, we'll be getting back in the swing of things, hopefully in the fall, like Eric said. So it's been a very busy year. So a little bit of time down to write and record and get some new stuff out there. So
my other podcast is Three Questions in a Song. So when you have that song, we could do an episode of that. It's kind of like VH1 Behind the Music, except it's only like 15 minutes. I asked you two questions. The guest on the last show asks a question, and then you tell us about your song, and that's it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'd love to come on and do that.
Yeah, we've played the new song out a few times, and it's going over really, really well. We're really happy with it. So we're going to play it today, but again, Mother Nature has decided you will not be hearing said songs.
Mother Nature wanted to be involved. You can hear the rumbling of her bass drum.
Yeah, I think the first band got pyrotechnics. I didn't think it was really fair.
The thunder and the lights. It was like, what the heck, man? I didn't know they were doing pyro this year. Nature's pyro.
That's Kate and I were talking. Doppler Effect has that song talking about lightning, yeah. about moonshine. And usually when they play it out here, this is what happens.
It seems like it happens out here almost every Gigaroo, at least. Sometimes it holds off for Rock for Life and Rocktoberfest, but it seems like every Gigaroo rains at some point.
Yeah, but Rocktoberfest, it's 20 degrees at night.
Oh, yeah. It feels good up there, though.
I'm sure. Hey, guys. Well, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having us.
No, thanks for having us, man. It was a pleasure.
bullshit in my head. I try to keep you by my side. I find pain in your life, you find serenity in mine. This fairy tale is over, just kiss me goodbye.